You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a New York Giants Victory Monday edition. First time in a while of the Giant Take podcast. As Big Blue wins a nail-biter against the Washington Commanders to earn their second win of the season. A very critical win for what I said in the preview. If you haven't listened to that already, I mean, go ahead and take a look to see what we expected from this game. I said that, you know, although this Giants season is already over, this game really would give the, like, if they lost this game, the whole entire, if they wanted to have any reputation whatsoever, they would win this football game, and they really needed to do so to even keep Giants fans somewhat engaged, which they did throughout the game, and they ended up getting the victory. So a very exciting thing here and a very exciting night for us to be able to recap this, especially because it was a 1 o'clock game. I feel like we've had a lot of prime time games this season, editing up until 1 or 2 a.m. in the morning. It's a nice 6-7 o'clock on a Sunday night where we can kind of just take it in, watch Sunday Night Football with nothing on the line, not wait for Monday Night Football the following day or anything like that. And especially with a win, Sunday Night Football is a much more pleasurable viewing experience, especially when the Giants involve players and groups on separate sides of the ball to do their thing. We're going to talk about all of it. But first, let's talk to Alex. Alex, how are you doing on this Victory Monday, or, you know, Sunday Eve edition of the episode?
Oh, I'm feeling good. It's great to get a win, finally. I didn't even know what that kind of, you know, meant. I figured out that actually when you score more than the other team, that usually constitutes a win. We don't usually score more than the other team, so usually we don't get this whatever you call winning thing. But it's great to have a Victory Monday, Victory Sunday. It doesn't matter. Victory every day. And yeah, I'm excited to kind of recap it. And it was definitely not a slam dunk game by any means, right? There was a lot of bad mistakes. There was a lot of just inconsistencies throughout. But most important thing is that they were able to come through with the win, and that's the only thing that matters, as we, you know, saw last week against Buffalo, right? You play, you know, to the final play there on the 1 yard line, but you still end up with the loss no matter how close it was. And just like this one was kind of close, but, you know, we ended up in the win column. So moving to 2-5, I don't think not as good as we expected, I think, our season to go, but, you know, at least nice to get a couple wins now in that column. And now we move on next week to the Jets, who, you know, are obviously a good team as well, but definitely another winnable game and a winnable stretch here for the Giants. But yeah, this one was a lot of fun and, you know, really good to get the victory. And I'm just really happy to see this team win again.
Yeah, Alex, I agree. I mean, opening thoughts just right off the gate is that that fourth down was, you know, you're shaking a little bit, especially when the Giants defense this entire last, basically the entire season has kept their team in the game, right? We talked about the offensive struggles. The Giants scored their first offensive touchdown today in 220 minutes. Absolutely insane statistic there. And you're just hoping that now with the game on the line, the defense that has been helping you perform the best to your abilities throughout the entire season can just once again do it, but this time to shut a game down. And luckily they came up and they did that. Like I said, we'll go into all of it there. Alex, I mean, I guess you already had your opening thoughts, so we can go right ahead and move over to the offense. First thing to talk about, the inactives, which is, for some reason, always a big deal here on these recap episodes. And to start out with, I was going to say Andrew Thomas. Daniel Jones, starting quarterback, we kind of expected this, was once again out today, along with John Michael Schmitz, Evan Neal, Andrew Thomas, those being the big names out. I'm sure I'm forgetting a few as well that we can throw in there. But those being the three big offensive linemen out for today, along with our starting quarterback, Daniel Jones. Who comes in relief? Tyrod Taylor. What does Tyrod Taylor do? He once again proves that he is one of the best, if not the best, backup quarterbacks in the NFL. And I'm not trying to say that to be like, oh, Giants bias, like this is a funny joke, whatever. Tyrod Taylor came in today, went 18 for 29, 279 yards and two touchdowns. With his legs, scrambled out a few times, had eight carries for eight rushes out of the pocket for 25 yards. But the thing with Tyrod Taylor that we haven't been able to see with Daniel Jones, and I really want to make this clear, is putting our offensive weapons in the position to make the plays that they are supposed to make. Darren Waller being the number one example to that, who led the team in reception yards today with seven catches and receptions. So the seven catches for 98 yards and a touchdown. Threw it to Waller. That's it. Threw it to Waller like he's supposed to do. That's our offensive weapon. That's our top guy we're supposed to be throwing to. That's what Taylor did. Jalin Hyatt. Two catches for 75 yards today, Only two catches, but they were two deep ball one-on-ones opportunities. That's the reason why the Giants drafted Jalin Hyatt, to get him in one-on-ones, because we know he can beat cornerbacks off the edge or off the line of scrimmage, whatever, on the edge of the field, the sideline, the near sideline. And that's what Hyatt did, and Taylor found him in space. Jones has done neither of those things. You can blame the offensive line. You can blame him. However, Tyrod Taylor, if you want to do the old line talk, Tyrod Taylor, like I said, didn't have the best offensive tackle on the Giants. His other side of the tackle position, right? So both right and left starters out, and a starting center. It's really clear to me, and I think to Giants fans that are now starting to recognize it back-to-back weeks, that Taylor is giving the Giants offense more opportunities to succeed than Daniel Jones is. And I don't know if that's a Daniel Jones issue or that's how Kafka and Dable are wrongfully scripting Jones in these games and just not giving him the opportunity to do it himself. I don't know. I'll stop talking now because it's been a little bit. I'll let Alex respond and give his ideas and thoughts on that. But I do want to leave it out there because it is super apparent that Tyrod is just succeeding more with what is given in this offense than Jones is when he's in there this season.
Well, part of it's going to be, obviously, as the season has gone on, the continuity of the offensive line has definitely developed more, which has been an important factor for Tyrod Taylor. Also, Tyrod Taylor, and he's more slim built. He's a little bit more agile in the pocket, someone who can kind of escape a little bit easier. Jones, obviously, a guy who's very quick, a big, quick athlete. But he doesn't have that agile change of direction that Tyrod Taylor possesses. And to be honest, Tyrod Taylor is a veteran in this league, a longtime NFL QB, 13 years, I believe it is now. And Daniel Jones, while he has his big money contract, still is a relatively new NFL quarterback at this point. And I think there's a difference between, Tyrod Taylor has dealt with these terrible offensive lines throughout his career, whether it be in LA with the Chargers, or maybe it was San Diego at that point. I think it was LA actually. Whether it was in Buffalo, that had a very bad offensive line at the time he was there. So it's all about adjustment and experience, and I think, you know, Tyrod Taylor does provide that. But I, to the people who say, you know, Daniel Jones should be benched, I don't think that's the case. Tyrod Taylor has played well. He's played admirably in these two games, but he hasn't played out of this world in a way that he deserves to get a starting nod going forward if Daniel Jones is fully healthy. But like you said, when Daniel Jones is not fully healthy and we need a backup QB in there, he is one of the best. So very happy that we have him on our team. And he's, I believe, out of contract this year, but hopefully he's willing to stick around past this season with the Giants. And the main winner for this team today was the defense, man. The defense came up big, especially the pass rush. Thibodeau was getting involved. And then obviously Leonard Williams and Dexter Lawrence were immense. Dexter Lawrence, I believe I saw a stat. He was only double teamed on 40% of snaps, which you're probably thinking like, oh, that's still a lot. Like 40% of the time he's double teamed. But for context, I believe most of the time he's double teamed at a rate about 80 to 85%. So today, Washington, for some reason, decided to leave him one-on-one most of the time with Nick Gates, our old friend. And that did not go very well for Nick Gates. So let's just say that. And I don't think that would go very well for any, interior offensive lineman. And Dexter Lawrence, I believe, had a game-high 8 pressures, maybe a couple QB hits, a sack. He was all over the place and showing why he got that big money contract over the offseason.
This guy's just completely breaking up the order. Like, 100% tear a hole through it. Offense, defense, it's every episode.
Well, you know what? In this one, I think we go defense, offense, because the defense deserves to go first.
I already started offense, and you should have established that before we recorded or said it first.
The defense goes first today. They were immense.
Well, it doesn't matter, because I already started with the offense. You can't just throw it in there now. You messed up. You're wrong. You know the order. If you wanted to change it, you tell me that before we start this or right in the beginning. We did the headlines. You know the order, Alex. Come on. You're a host on this podcast. You've done it for years now.
I thought we were still doing the intros here.
Headlines first, offense, defense. Same order it's been since the last 3 years we recorded this podcast.
This was a headline.
And then I'm just like, no, we did the headlines. You did your opening statement, then I do the headlines.
There was another headline that I forgot about. There you go.
Oh, my goodness. I, like, start off with Tyrod Taylor and the offensive weapons. Like, we start our normal offense conversation.
I thought that was a headline. Not going to lie.
I said, now let's move to the offense. It's the same indicator I say every single time.
I'm so excited about Dexter Lawrence. I know.
I mean, I'm glad you ripped it off the tongue before you forgot it when we got to the defense. So I'm glad you got it out now. Let's go back to the offense like a normal episode would be doing instead of flipping back and forth and move to Saquon Barkley, the running back for the Giants, who got injured early in this game, and that was very scary stuff. So Saquon luckily is okay now. Or was okay after that moment with the injury. What was it? Alex, a shoulder or something like that?
Arm, I believe. Lower arm.
Yeah. He stayed in the game, went 21 carries, 77 yards. Also had 3 catches for 41 yards and that touchdown. Saquon Barkley, a very good player for the Giants team. I mean, we know that. Just so elusive, kind of how you were describing Tyrod Taylor, but just in a running back position. And on that touchdown, too, gave you glimpses of what everyone says is the old Saquon Barkley, right? Just a very great player for this Giants team. So, hey, he doesn't want to get traded at the deadline. You know, we'll have to wait and see. I'm sure the Giants don't want to trade him either. I saw Diana Rossini of, ESPN? I think that's how you say her name.
Yeah.
Made that report this morning as well, even though Saquon literally came out in the locker room like 3 days ago when he was asked, and he said the same thing. So I don't really know what the deal is there. But anyway, happy to have him in this offense, obviously. Does his part today. And then Alex, like I mentioned earlier, for the transition again, Darren Waller, what did you think of his performance today? Again, I would say, I feel like I might have said like last week was his first breakout performance maybe, but this one I think being his most crucial impact for this team, getting almost 100 yards receiving. So I guess you could start with him. I already talked about him and Hyatt, so I got my main two receivers out of the way.
Yeah, I thought he was good today. You know, pretty much. But to be completely honest, when we brought him in, that was kind of what I was expecting, is these types of games, not as like a special occasion, but more as a week-to-week reality of Darren Waller. And I'm happy to see that, you know, he's getting on track now with that performance. And, you know, he was definitely great today, and I'm hoping to continue to see it. But it's kind of like when you have such high expectations for a guy already, when they meet those expectations, it's not, you know, I don't think I'm as excited as maybe some other Giants fans are with his play. Yes, it was awesome that he got a touchdown. Yes, it was awesome that he neared, what would you say, 100 yards receiving. But, you know, I kind of felt like, okay, this is what he's supposed to be doing. And now he's got this, and let's build from there. So, yeah, I was happy about Darren Waller. You mentioned Hyatt. I was happy with him. I would like to see him get more involved in some underneath concepts instead of just the deep ball as well, because I think, you know, he has the ability. We saw, you know, last game against the Bills in that final drive, obviously the drive didn't end up how we wanted it, but we saw, a very smooth, like in slant route that he was able to run. And so I think he's got more to his game than some of those deep fades or whatever else it may be. So I definitely want to see more of that. And then, you know, I think Darius Slayton, Hodgins had a couple of key catches as well. Don't want to, you know, miss them. And overall, the offense ran okay, I think. They were just okay. I think 14 points in total, that's an okay performance. Maybe should have been 17. You had the Graham Gano miss field goal from 40 yards or whatever.
For what the Giants' offense has been this season, 14 looks like an absolute spectacle, though, as a fan, right? Like, you go in, you finish the game, you're like, what a great offensive performance. And then you look at the stats, and it's like, oh, they only scored 14 points. Like, that's it. So... it wasn't anything crazy like that. But again, this offense can still kind of build off of this. I mean, we'll see if Daniel Jones is back. He's aiming to recover for the game next week. We'll have to wait and see. He thought he was going to come back for this game against the Commanders. He did not. So again, I mean, we'll play the waiting game, and we'll have to just wait and see what happens with DJ and kind of just go from there. The first half, though, is when they scored all those 14 points, right? So
second half offense definitely slowed down, and that was the concern.
Lackluster second half. I would agree with that. All right. So now, Alex, this is the crazy part. When we go from an offense talking section to defense talking section. Before we do that, though, we're going to send it to a quick break, and we'll be right back.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
The fun part about how good this defense played today, only giving up 7 points to the Commanders, is that I don't even know where to start. I mean, Alex already talked about it earlier. But Bobby Okereke, could you go to him? He has the pass deflection. Deontay Banks has the pass deflection. Locking up Terry McLaurin on the outside, by the way. I'm very proud of how Banks is slowly, I feel like, underrated quarterback, rookie cornerback, especially right now. His progressions are very good in the NFL. I don't think a lot of people are looking at how good he's playing. I don't know why I'm stuttering so much right now. I don't think people
The Giants have been so bad that I think people have just kind of felt like everything's
kind of getting
mess,
overlooked.
But Banks has been elite so far, yeah.
And the Giants have been putting him on the outside consistently, especially since they moved Adoree Jackson to the slot position. So he's had to cover the top-tier wide receivers on each squad the Giants have played. And again, not allowing that much to them. Even when they played the Seahawks, I know DK Metcalf did do pretty well, but he's one of the top-tier wide receivers in the NFL, and Banks had to go on it. But today, shut down Terry McLaurin. I want to see exactly what his stats were. He did lead the team with 6 catches for 90 yards, which seems like so much more than what you would think. That seems like he did do a lot. However, on key plays, when it needed to be done, especially in that red zone, actually, that red zone sequence when they valued Terry McLaurin one-on-one in the corner of the end zone.
Big interception, too, he had. So another thing to mention.
Oh, yeah, and interceptions are a separate stat area on ESPN, so that's why I didn't even see that there. But another thing to bring up, the defense getting sacks as well. How many sacks did they have today total? It was 6 for the team. two sacks for Sexy Dexy. We saw the dance a couple times today. That was fun. Jason Pinnock getting in there for a sack. Half of the sack for Micah McFadden. 1.5 for Kayvon Thibodeau. Excited to see him getting involved. I know the probably the half one was with Dexter Lawrence. 1 for Leonard Williams. And Leonard Williams getting his hand up and getting that block on the field goal, too. That
huge.
Absolutely, yeah. Turned up MetLife Stadium. The crowd noise levels after that, you know, maybe it was boosted in the CBS studio. I don't know. But it seemed like MetLife Stadium was electric for one of the only times it has been this season. And absolutely crucial. You saw how much it meant to the Giants sideline, especially head coach Brian Daboll. You know, they panned to him, and he was absolutely fired up along with the Giants special team defensive unit. But, yeah, Leonard Williams, just a great play. I mean, I know those are, like, not really huge. Those are more luck than skill-based decisions and, you know, plays that happen. But just, you know, you still got to give him credit for jumping at the right time, getting his hand in the right spot, and just happening to block that kick. Yeah, man. I mean, I don't really know where to go on this defense side. I mean, I know
Josh,
you talked about it already.
You know, technically, that's not defense. That's special teams, if you think about it. So we kind of go now.
We have to add the extra third section.
Add the third section. Well, usually our third section with them, special teams, is ranting about how terrible it was. And I will mention real quick, briefly, on special teams, since you brought it up, so I'm allowed to talk about it. The punt returning situation was probably the worst thing about today's game. Eric Gray cannot catch punts. Sterling Shepard cannot catch punts. Can we get a punt returner? Can we get a kick returner? Anything. These guys suck at that. Like, they might as well put...
Oh, Sterling Shepard today?
Yeah, Sterling Shepard. Well, there was 2 muff punts, right? Eric Gray muffed one, but we were able to recover it. And then Sterling Shepard muffed one, and he did not, and we did not recover it. And then he also had another punt catch that was like, it looked like he was going to muff it. So really, like, 1.5 muffs for him. Half a muff for Eric Gray, or 3/4 of a muff, because it didn't get, you know, it wasn't a turnover technically. But we need someone back there who is a polished returner, a return man. And nobody on this roster right now is. I don't know really, you know, Paris Campbell looked pretty good in the times that they had him back there as a returner. He's not getting any, you know, time really on the offense. Why not put him in as a returner? At least try that. It can't be any worse. And if not, just sign someone who can return the damn football. Because right now, every time a punt goes in the air, and our defense was so good today that there was probably like 10 punts, every single time my heart sank into my chest and I felt like I was going to die because there was going to be another muff punt. And I just couldn't handle it. It's too much. I'm sitting here. So I watched the game today in like our little common room thing. In our dorm here at college. And every time the punt goes up, people are walking by, right, you know, wherever they're going, and they're looking at me, and they must think I'm a madman because I'm sitting there looking like I'm about to faint watching Sterling Shepard catch a football, catch a punt. So really, things need to change with that. That's the main issue from today, and that's going to be main challenge going forward because, my Lord, it's painful.
I did not expect to have a punting returner as
well.
I mean,
am I wrong? Do you feel comfortable
No, you're not. I just did. I just didn't expect it. That's all. yeah, I mean, having Sterling Shepard back is one way to get involved in this Giants team because he's not, you know, out there to catch the ball a lot. So, I mean, I guess they're like, put him back there. I don't know, Alex. I have not much to respond. You covered it all when it comes to that stuff. So I will say, besides that, again, you already said it, but Dexter Lawrence having a day is something you love to see. He's one of the most positive players in the locker room, one of the most best, or one of the best entertaining players in the NFL, I would have to say. Again, Giants bias, of course, but I think other players in the league would agree. So to see him have a good game is especially nice to see. And Thibodeau, I want to say it again. I think I said it earlier in the season. To get this guy involved in a second year now, after last year where it was kind of underperforming for where he was selected in the draft, I think is a fair statement. So for him to have a game today as well, I think is really important, especially for his morale. With this team struggling, I think for every guy. The defense, again, has been holding this team in there pretty much every game that they possibly can against some really good teams. And they did it today, and I'm sure they're so happy that finally at least the offense is able to put two scores on the board, which is able to get it done, because they deserve this way more than the offense does. The offense, I mean, I know they're struggling through injuries and offensive line is banged up. We're missing our starting quarterback. I get all that. But this win is for the defense, for them to celebrate and for them to take this one in, because it's finally a win that they've been deserving now for weeks at this point.
What I'd say with Kayvon Thibodeau is last season, right, his whole season, I'd say his whole rookie year can be defined by about two games, right? The game in Baltimore where he had that game-winning strip sack of Lamar Jackson, and then obviously the game-winning, or the not the game-winning, but that strip sack for a touchdown against Washington in that tie game last season. So those were the two moments, but besides that, we weren't getting consistent production on a game-to-game basis. And this season, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think through, what is it, seven games now, he has 5.5, 6.5 sacks, something like that. And he's been a consistent performer. He hasn't been making some of those big splash plays, but he's been getting a sack here and there, half a sack there, QB hit there, pressures there. You know, he's been pretty solid setting the edge as well, which he was struggling with last season. I think he got a lot better at that this season. So overall, we have seen some steady improvement from him. And I know he's a big personality. And what comes with that is you expect big plays. But on a game-to-game basis, he's been a lot better this season. There has been improvement from that standpoint. But yeah, I think when those big splash plays come to fruition again, like we saw they did last season, he's going to be a big force. But, you know, he's on track right now to get 12, 13 sacks. So a very solid second season so far for Thibodeau. But I think he's definitely going under the radar just because of how big I think he talks, that everyone thinks, okay, he should be having 20 sack seasons. When in reality, he's really not that type of player, at least yet. And you're hoping that one day he could be.
I think we covered it all. We did offense and we did defense and we did special teams as well. One thing I want to do, what I kind of want to end it with, Tyrod Taylor, in his press conference after the game, had a word about what his future was going to be next. Well, I guess next week is a starting point, but for the rest of the season in regards to Daniel Jones as starting quarterback.
Would you like to remain the starter next week?
That's up to coach. Obviously, if DJ's healthy, he's a captain on our team, captain of our team, leader on the offense, and I'm here to support in any way that I can.
So we leave it up to head coach. Brian Daboll obviously is going to be the one making the decision at the end of the day. Is it Jones? Is it Tyrod Taylor? Tyrod Taylor knows his place on this team. He knows that Daniel Jones is a starting quarterback and he is the backup. In his two starts, In his two starts as the backup quarterback, he has done his job, and that is play as best as he possibly can. And I really, truly think he's done that, and he's done a pretty damn good job at it. So we'll have to see what happens next week and how Daniel Jones' recovery goes. Obviously, you know, as time goes on, you know, recover and you get better every single day of and every single week. I don't know how I phrased that poorly, but I'm having trouble with words this episode, I've noticed. Daniel Jones, what I was trying to get at was Daniel Jones this past week had more practices, obviously not contact, but had more practices than he did the week prior. So this week he'll probably have more practices with the team. You know, just that's how it goes with recovery. So we'll have to see if that impacts the game and if he plays on Sunday. We'll talk a little bit more about it in our preview coming later this week. And guess what? The game, it's at MetLife Stadium because it's Giants versus Jets. So it's home for both teams, guys. It's pretty funny. That would be like a typical joke that I thought you would find funny, Alex. Like, guess where the game
is?
At MetLife Stadium.
You're in a silly, goofy mood today.
Isn't that a surprise? Isn't that so funny?
Even I wouldn't make that joke. I got to be honest.
Who's the home team, Alex? Do you know that?
The Giants, actually.
The Giants are the home team for this game. Although I'm sure it'll be a very nice 50-50 mix of this New York battle that not really Giants or Jets fans hate either team because they're in separate conferences in the NFL. But it's going to be a fun one. And, you know, whoever wins, they can tell the other franchise that they are the rulers of New York. And then the Buffalo Bills will just be sitting hours upstate just hiding because no one like factors them in that New York.
Well, they lost to the Patriots. They don't deserve to be factored in currently.
That is true. I was going to say, you know, if it came up that the Giants weren't the only team to get their second win of the season today. So you know, congrats, Patriots. I was actually, you know, it's funny. I was coming home from a tournament watching the Giants game with two fans in the car who were Patriots fans. And they were like, oh, Brady was playing. I was like, oh, my God, they're still thinking about Brady? I literally said, I was like,
no. All right, here's the thing. I'm still in Boston. I'm in Boston, right, at school. Everyone here talks about Brady like he just left like a year ago. Or like not even, like he just left.
He's
like
gone,
guys. Like he's been gone, guys. Like, let's move on. Like these guys are like the clingiest of individual sports fans.
Oh my god,
that
I've
ever met.
And then I had today too. I was like, you know, it really sucks. Like these past couple seasons have been rough. I was like, are you kidding me? These past couple seasons before you won the Super Bowl, like every other year for a 10-15 year streak? Really?
They don't get it.
Don't get it. Like you're seriously talking about? Unbelievable. Those spoiled
fans
in the NFL.
I don't feel bad one bit about the Patriots. I'll just say that. I don't feel bad. Not one bit.
Oh, they're so annoying. God damn. I can't. But again, what's not annoying is our preview coming on Friday and this Giants game on Sunday. Giants versus Jets, 1 o'clock start at MetLife Stadium. Giants home game. It counts as a Giants home game. Thank you so much for listening and or watching to our shenanigans today. You can hit the subscribe button down below or wherever you listen. Hit that thumbs up button on YouTube. Follow us at the Giant Take Pod on all of the social media platforms. Alex is on Twitter at Anorian23. I'm on Twitter at JoshSolo29. And, you know, Alex will say it again, but I will say thank you again.
All right. Thank you, everyone, for listening to today's episode of the Giant Take Podcast. Enjoy your victory Monday. Enjoy your victory week. We don't know how many more of those are going to have this season, so definitely enjoy it. And, yeah, we'll see everyone on Thursday for the preview episode. Looking forward to the New York rivalry, I guess you can say, against
Friday.
Friday. Yep, there you go.